Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Maureen Calamia, and we will be talking about her new book, Creating Luminous Spaces, Using the Five Elements for Balance and Harmony. In Creating Luminous Spaces, Maureen shares her groundbreaking method of using feng shui and biophilic design to achieve greater harmony in our lives. By tapping into the wisdom of the five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, we can restore our bond with nature, both in our inner natures and our outer world, which is vital for greater joy and peace in our lives. For more information, you can visit Maureen's website, which is www.luminous-spaces.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So that, I'd like to welcome Maureen to the show. Good day, Maureen.
Hi, Robert. Thanks so much for having me on today.
It is my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to enlightening our listeners about light and luminosity. So let's first start with feng shui. Now, probably a lot of people have heard about it, but maybe don't have a real clear idea of what it is. So would you mind kind of starting off with an explanation of what it is?
Sure. So feng shui is, you know, fundamentally what I do. And it's a tool that was developed thousands of years ago in China. And rather than just being a tool, it's really a philosophy of a way to live. It's you know, back thousands of years ago, they needed to find the best place to live because it was going to either mean they thrive or they don't at all. So, you know, the land was so important. So they created like a set of to figure out the best place to live. And a lot of it is very intuitive. We can tap into a lot of those tools within us as well, but our intuition has been kind of tamped down over the years, I guess. But you know, when we kind of relearn feng shui and remember what this is all about, in our process, we, really identify and go, well, yeah, that seems to be common sense. Why aren't we using it more, you know, in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
But, and there's a quote, that is a Chinese proverb. I'm not sure where I got it from. I think it was one of my teachers way in the beginning. And it says, living in harmony with the earth brings good fortune. And I just love that quote because it just says so much. It's about living in harmony. Living in harmony is so far from where we are in our modern world. And, you know, but in our individual lives, if we can bring more of that into our spaces, we will definitely make an improvement, I think, in the greater world. I'm very certain of that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm we really need it now in a global perspective, but also, you know, very much on an individual basis. So,
I wanted to add is that if we think about our homes, everything in our homes used to be, say, you know, even less than 100 years ago, everything in our homes was made of natural materials. And now not much is made of natural materials. So, you know, it's just actually for health as well, not just physical, but mental and spiritual, emotional health, having this connection to the natural world through these tools of the five elements, which a big one is the five elements of wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. So that is what can be achieved, is one of the ways to do it.
Yeah. You know, and you're so right about our environment containing less, far less of those elements, those natural elements, but also just how far people have drifted away from the connection with nature. I mean, it's, in the agricultural, kind of world and environment, you had to have that connection, and you did, and you cultivated it literally, but and in today's environment, it's not necessary. I mean, in the sense that, we can live our lives without it, but by being taken away from it, we really miss a lot of what nature has to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very
Yeah.
important.
So now how did you get involved in this, and what inspired you to write, creating Luminous Spaces?
So I started studying feng shui about 15 years ago, and it really connected with me. Like I said, I felt like I was remembering things that long ago. And then I came across this idea of biophilia, and it's an idea that we have evolved through the millennia in this tight connection with the natural world, and we have this strong affinity to nature. So I started making the connections when I was reading about biophilia. There's a few books by Edward O. Wilson, who is a famous biologist. And Stephen Kellert, who is a professor, was a professor at Yale University. They actually came together and wrote several books on what they called biophilic design, which was exactly, I saw the connection and the overlap with feng shui so vividly. But it's really about bringing the natural world into our buildings. They actually took it more for, say, public spaces, healthcare facilities, corporate office spaces. So that was kind of their focus. But as biophilic design is becoming more known in the architecture and design community, it's starting to drift down to kind of the general public. And I saw this real need to explain and to integrate biophilic design and feng shui for general people, regular people to do in their spaces, in their homes. Because that's where we spend most of our time.
So what is biophilia? I mean, what is it
Sure.
exactly?
It's this idea that we are inherently connected to the natural world, and we have a love,
Okay.
a deep love of living things. So we are more alive ourselves when we're in spaces that are themselves alive. In fact, there is this quote similar to what I just said by Christopher Alexander, who is an architect. He says, "Our emotional freedom, our spirit, is nurtured and supported by those environments which are themselves alive." So that really just struck me. I mean, just think about this on a very tangible level. So imagine that you're sitting at a table that is made of plastic. You can kind of feel the plastic. You can see it. It's kind of cool. Now imagine yourself sitting at a table made of wood. It's such a different experience that you may even be able to resonate with it right now. But it's such a different experience having the actual living material of wood that you're leaning on, that you're enjoying, rather than a plastic table. There's just no comparison. And when we acknowledge that and we bring more of that into our spaces, I mean, more than just wood, of course, but we bring that experience of the elements into our homes, we can have such a much richer life in those homes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that makes sense. So when you talk about biophilic design, is that mean when you are, you know, talking about either, you know, creating a space or occupy, you know, considering elements to occupy a space that you incorporate those items that are alive, so to speak.
Yeah, it's everything you just said. Of course, like architects and designers are looking at it more from a how do we build this space? How do we design this space from the ground up, connected more to nature? And for us in our homes, it's more of how can I benefit from whatever I have already? What can I improve upon? And what can I bring in? So things like having a view outside your window is a connection to nature, of course. If you're looking out your window while you're having your coffee in the morning and you see, you know, birds go into the bird bath, I mean, that's going to enhance and enrich your experience of that morning. Many people work from home, so I think it's really important that we have workspaces with a view of nature and the sunlight in our workspaces.
Yeah. Well, you
So
know,
that's
I
an
just have to
example.
laugh. You know, yeah, I love coincidence. You know, I love coincidence. And I'm sorry, but I have to share with you. We have somebody in the chat room who is from the Whitsunday Islands, which is like on the other side of the world. You know, he comes in and listens to the show now and then, and it's morning time for him right now. And just as you were talking, he said, "Coffee, anyone?" It's like 6:08, six in the morning there, and then you start talking about, and I mean, you know, there. I mean, it was just too coincidental not to have to mention that.
Yes,
But
yes.
yeah, so
Oh,
anyway, but
funny. Yeah, I
it
mean,
is,
so
it is.
there's lots of ways that we can tap into nature. It doesn't have to be with objects, but like I said, it's like opening the window and getting the outdoor air into our homes. A lot of people keep their windows closed almost all year long between heat and cooling. And, you know, when we do that, we're cutting ourselves up from the sound of birds and crickets at night. And maybe there's water outside, if you have a fountain running in the middle of the night. I mean, how gorgeous is that? And people don't even realize that they're quote unquote separated from nature. They don't even realize it.
That's, you know, I'm very much a nature person. I go, you know, my walks every morning. That's my Zen time, you know, with nature, and amateur photographer. So I take pictures of birds and flowers and all kinds of things. So I'm, you know, I really have kind of my antenna up to be in tune with nature, you know, then. And to me, it's just such a soothing way to start the day. And, you know, I've come to relish, you know, that connection. And, you know, and I think, you know, and you don't have to be out, you know, in the wilderness to be able to do that. You can just be outside, and like you say, just even open the door and get the airflow, and listen to the birds, you know, or the noises, you know, of life around you.
So in my book, I have lots of different ideas of how we can, you know, reestablish that meaningful connection to nature on a daily basis.
So now, you know, your book is titled Creating Luminous Spaces. And so, and sounds like you've been, you know, what you've been describing, you know, is luminous space. But in your book, you also, in your introduction, you indicate, you talk about an experience of yours with a luminous space. So would you mind sharing that with the listeners?
Oh, I would love to. So, if we think about the word luminous space, I think all of us would definitely gravitate to something in nature. And when I was thinking about my luminous space, immediately, I mean, there was no hesitation. We all have had, I'm sure, an experience, probably more, but there's usually one standout experience in nature that has really impacted us in a way. And mine was set in Hawaii, which, you know, it could be worse places, right? I was sitting on a beach in Maui, and I was only 22. I was not a world traveler, but I was sitting there, and I was alone at that moment. And there was no one out, really. It was really quiet. It was still early. The sun was setting. Sun was rising behind me. And I was looking out and seeing the play of shadow on the volcano that was across the way from me. And everything, you know, the feel of the sand, the sun on me, the gentle sun rising, the play of light and shadow, the smell of the sea and the flowers and the birds and everything. It was as if my heart just opened wide up, and I absorbed everything in that scene. I breathed in that entire scene, and there was a shift in me. There was a feeling in that moment that stood out. I mean, it was certainly a noticed moment and a notable moment in my life. And as I have become more, as I've grown older and it's gravitating toward meditation, whenever I go to a place in my meditations, I go to that scene. I go to that scene because it just really brings me to a connection with the divine source that's accessible to everybody. And it really brings me into the moment. It allows me to kind of raise my own personal vibration by visualizing that space again with all my senses. And I recognized in my work with feng shui that that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to raise the vibration of our living spaces. And I'm using a set of tools to get there. End goal is to create the highest vibration possible in our homes so that we can live in this peace and, dare I say harmony, peace and harmony in our lives on a more regular level, a more consistent level. So that is really my goal.
Yeah, and having that scene make such an impression on you, obviously having it as a goal in a meditation, to kind of, go there and experience, that calmness, just reliving that experience is something that, I think many people would really love to achieve. And it's when it comes time to, you talked about houses or, houses. In the book, you talk about our homes, the energy of our homes, and how we're attracted to them. But then you also say that sometimes maybe our homes choose us. Interesting idea, and one that I can see a lot of that, because I've lived in quite a few different places, I have some of my experiences. I've really felt that the place chose me, because it just came right out at me. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think that there's this understanding of energy is quite different. Our understanding now of energy is quite different than it was a few decades ago. I mean, quantum physics makes it more understandable, or maybe at least we can talk about it, maybe not understand it at a real level, but that everything is energy. And, energy attracts, like attracts like. So if you are in a particular place in your life, you're going to attract a home that's at that same kind of place. And, so just like people, right, we attract people into our lives that, we're kind of connected with. There's this similar energy. And I also think we attract homes into our lives that are going to give us some kind of a lesson that we need at that point in our lives. Because, you know, I mean, in feng shui, one of the things we look at is, you know, the actual floor plan of the house, and sometimes the romance corner is missing, and maybe you've been attracted to that home to kind of deal with that issue of missing romance in your life. So it can be really, really very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. I've kind of had some of the rebuild kind of, you know, refurbish the house, refurbish
wow.
the life. kind of.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Was your experience at those times that you were going through spiritual growth, personal growth?
Yeah. Each of the times, and you know, I think I probably in the last 20 years lived. Well, I've lived in San Diego, Las Vegas, Albuquerque, Durham, and South Carolina. So I've lived in, you know, quite a variety of places, and in each one, you know, really taught me something. In addition to, you know, being immersed in the culture of the area, you know, the house, you know, really did reflect outward, you know, what I was going through. And in particular, the one in Albuquerque, I was in between places, sold one, hadn't found another yet. And in that one, I mean, there were such a series of coincidences that I followed, you know, things that were kind of hit me in the face, and I followed them, that led to like an ideal situation. And then living in Albuquerque and really getting in tune with the Native American atmosphere and, you know, belief structure there was it really kind of expanded my view of, you know, of life. So, I mean, it was just one of
Beautiful.
Those cases where you know, that was one particular example where I could really feel the place calling me, you know, versus me looking for the place, you know, and I think that I've known a lot of people who have gone house hunting and they follow a very rigid process, you know, with realtors, areas, house, you know, where in my particular case, most of the time, it was just, you know, intuition led me to one spot to another. And I ended up with what I believe was the right place for me at that particular time. And I think it was, I would have missed that if I had any particular structure, you know, that would maybe have limited where I looked.
Right. Oh, I have one brief story I'd like to share. One of my students, she had married a gentleman who had been divorced, and she moved into his house, and the house was actually built by him and his former wife. So my student said how she felt that the house obviously she did not feel like it was hers. She felt the presence of the previous wife there just tremendously, and she just couldn't feel connected to the house. And when we talked about this potential concept that maybe the house chose her to live there and help it heal, she had like this great epiphany, and it just opened up for her, and she realized that indeed she just needed to change her perspective about the house, that the house was really embracing her and wanting her to help it heal from, you know, the breakup from the past. So it was a really fabulous experience. And she is so much more, you know, she's so grateful for her home now.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's that simple change in perspective. It changes everything. I mean, it changes one's life completely. And, you know, and I mean, that is something that we can access anytime we want, that perspective.
Yes.
Yep. Well, Maureen, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners that if you would like to call in and ask Maureen any questions, feel free to call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post them. And then when we come back from the break, Maureen, I want to talk a bit about one's true nature. You know, you talk about true nature in the book. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, okay?
Great.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Maureen Calamia, and we are talking about her new book, Creating Luminous Spaces, Use the Five Elements for Balance and Harmony. And again, you can find out more about Maureen and what she has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.luminous-spaces.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Maureen.
Hi.
Great. Now, when I went to your website, I noticed that you had a special free ebook that people can download. So, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think something free and get a little insight is really great.
Oh yeah, yeah. So this is actually a quiz and information about the five elements that comes from my book, and I actually developed the quiz several years ago on determining what your true nature is, and the nature is based on the five elements of wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And the idea is that because we are nature ourselves, we have all of those elements within us, and they represent different personality traits. And we most of us have one that's a primary element, and sometimes there's two that are like our driving our nature and driving our motivations in life. And this quiz is a way to kind of go through. It's pretty simple, and I think it's a lot of fun. You go through the questions, and you come out with a number. You tally up, and the highest number is your true nature element. And then you can read about it and read about how you can support yourself in your home to nourish that element. So it's really very, very fun.
Oh, great. So, I mean, and that just fits right in with what we wanted to talk about after break is the idea of the two natures. So when it comes to, our true nature, so that is something that basically we resonate with certain element or elements that we resonate with?
Yeah, it's sometimes we can sometimes people just really resonate with one of those elements, and it turns out to be their element. So, you know, if somebody is just like a big tree person, they could very well be what we call the wood element. And, you know, then there's people that are really, you know, love water, like they're just fish. They're swimming, you know, they live by the water, yeah. So, you know, there's a good chance that you are the water element. So it's what we resonate with in nature. But also there's, like I said, personality traits that are for each of these elements that are, you know, very fascinating and interesting. And I've spent my whole life actually learning about archetypes and energy and traits by with astrology. Been in astrology since I'm like 12, so it's just been a lifelong process of learning. It's been really fun.
Yeah. So now, when it comes time to, I mean, if you recognize your true nature, and you, you know, identify with particular elements, what about cases when you have a spouse who may have a very different true nature than what you have?
Right.
How does that work?
How does that work?
You kind of
Well, I go about it in I talk about it in the book, but this is a really good point. One thing I think that is absolutely fascinating and insightful is to look at what your element is and look at what your partner's element is, or anybody in your life that you want to understand your relationship better. It could be a child, it could be a parent, it could be a best friend, it could be a boss. I mean, they would have to take the quiz, but there's other ways to do the elements. I'm not really going to get into that now, but it's really, I think, so fascinating to just understand where they're coming from and what makes them tick. I just think it's absolutely crucial in my life to have systems like this that I could tap into to understand the people around me. I understand who I am in a better way, and then I can maybe communicate myself better to them because they are different than myself. But there's also something called the five element theory. So there's creative relationships and there's controlling relationships. And I think right now probably some ears perked up when they heard that, controlling relationships. There's this, you know, the way that the five element theory works, and I explain it in the book, is every element has one that controls it and one that creates it. And so something that's easy is, you know, water douses fire, puts fire out. So those are in a controlling relationship. So if you happen to be water and your spouse is fire, just understanding that maybe you are putting their fire out too much. Maybe you need to let them burn a little bit. They might get out of hand too much, but you may not need to step in and try to control them all the time. In that way. So it can be really insightful. Now in your spaces, you can also figure out ways that you can nourish both of you. With the example of water and fire, the wood element is between them and bridges the two. So you could bring maybe wood into your space to then make it more harmonious relationship for the two of you.
Okay, that's great. Perfect. Well, we do have a caller. Let me go ahead and bring on the caller and see what his question is. And hello, Bob.
Hi. G'day. Welcome from the
Now, Bob, exactly where are the I'm sorry, Bob, where are the islands that you're calling from? Where are they located exactly?
Well, if you look at the map of Australia, the eastern side of Australia, at about 2 o'clock, because gauge. So it's northern Queensland, about two-thirds of the way up Queensland. And there's 74 islands in the Cumberland Group, and they are wedged between the mainland and the Great Barrier Reef. So, you know, the natural energy up here is absolutely amazing. And the whales have just arrived. They come up here every year to give birth and teach their young. So it's a beautiful spot. And it's why I live here. I traveled the world in the 70s as an engineer on cruise liners, and I went 8 times around Australia in a Volkswagen Combi as a folk singer, and that took 10 years. it was brilliant, and it was all part of my own growing process. It's like I'm content with me now, and where I'm coming from is all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. So I have no jurisdiction over anyone, and no one has jurisdiction over me. And I celebrate differences.
It sounds wonderful, and I'd love to be in that environment. So now, do you have a question there for Maureen?
Yeah, as all are unique, everybody will find their own answers and own solutions. So I hear you talking about elements. So according to your life experience, how would I discover what my element is? And I'm
sure.
A Cancerian. So that's which is why I lived on a boat for 8 years. And the cyclone took it away last year. And my two dogs have just woken up. Morning, Barnaby. Morning,
Charlie. So, Bob, thanks. I would say you are probably have a lot of water in you. That makes a whole lot of sense since you've lived your life on the water. But you could take this 18-question quiz that's on my website. It's in a free ebook, and you go through it. You tally up the numbers for each element, and the one that's the highest will be your true nature element. Now, if you have two elements that are really close together, just separated by a few points, those are your two primary elements then. So you would look at both. But I would bet you water is one of them.
Yeah, and rum as well, being a sailor. But I'll leave you with this. Yeah, I'll leave you with this one because I spent most of my adult life in automotive research, and I've got an amazing intellect. And my mind was always like a tree full of chattering monkeys. But it wasn't, I love this phrase, I had to go out of my mind to come to my senses. And since I learned how to turn my mind off, I feel, therefore I am. You know, I experience my life through my feelings. And my feelings have become my healings. It was through feeling the pain of depression and not thinking about it that I could actually work through it. So feelings are healings for me. And thanks for your time, guys. And I think it's all about everybody taking conscious responsibility for their lives and finding their own way to personal contentment. And I'll check you out. I'll check out your questionnaire on your... Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, eh?
Great. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you coming in.
I wake up giggling. All right. I wake up giggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. You have a very good morning, and drink that coffee for me too. So. Okay. Great. So okay. Well, that was good. Yeah, and I could see, like you said, Maureen. You know, with his, you know, living on the water, being around the water. I mean. You know, it's obviously, I'm sure that is one of the primary elements, you know, if not an extra as well.
And also what he said at the end there about working through his feelings about things, I mean, that is a very water thing to say. Yeah, so he's really deeply connected. There, each of the elements has an archetype name, which is very cool, and water is known as the philosopher.
Yep. That is very much what kind of what he was letting us know. So, yeah, that sounds
right,
great.
Right.
Yeah. So now, in your book, you talk about, you know, three secrets, which are major shifts in thinking that some people can do that would help create a more luminous space. So can you share those not-so-secret secrets?
Yeah, yeah. So we talked a little bit about all of them, but let me kind of put it all together into this.
Perfect.
So one of them is that everything has energy and consciousness. Everything. So, you know, like I mentioned before, quantum physics gave us this view of reality that is just kind of unreal to our normal lives, that nothing is solid. Everything is made of vibrating particles or waves. And they're both at the same time, too. So it's just really cool. And as you could tell, I'm a bit of a science geek as well. And a geography geek. So I'm so glad you asked him where he was living, because that was just really fascinating to hear about the islands. So anyhow, because everything is made of energy and consciousness, everything is shifting so easily. And, you know, just like we know that our thoughts have tremendous impact on our lives, it has tremendous impact on how we feel about our homes. Because if we're thinking things in a positive way about our homes, we're going to get that positive energy back, and we're going to feel comfortable and secure and a sanctuary in our homes. But if we have negative feelings, and there's a lot of people out there that do, they may feel like, oh, this is a temporary place, so I'm not going to hang pictures, and I'm not going to repaint, and I'm not going to do this or that. Or they might have, you know, antagonistic relationship with their home. Say things keep breaking down. Things constantly need repair. Of course, that's going to happen in a home over time. But sometimes people have, like, a lot of things going on in their home. And you have to think about, like, what you're feeling about your home is sending that energy back to you. So that can sometimes help people understand, like, maybe I should be more kinder to my home. Maybe I should actually treat it like a loving friend, like a pet, you know, like we love and dogs and birds or whatever. You know, treat your home with that same kind of honor and respect. So that's important. The other thing is that our homes are a mirror reflection of our lives and ourselves. So if we think that, if we realize that everything about our homes was a decision that we made, either conscious or unconsciously at some point, then we realize that it is a mirror of our life. So if we look around and we see these beautiful pictures and happy and joy and, you know, vibrant color and, you know, loving things around, it's reflecting on our life. But if we look around and we see things like, I'm going to say the dreaded word, but clutter piled up. And it just kind of drains our energy, you know, when you have the clutter and you know that you've got to do something and you get overwhelmed. So that is going to be a reflection of what's going on within you. You know, maybe inability to see clearly, inability to do things, you know, do now instead of procrastinating and things like that. So that was the second one. And then the third one is that we need a meaningful connection to nature in our daily lives. And we can see how lack of connection in our daily lives leads to increased stress, which leads to illness, and not just physical, but a mental and emotional illness, and a spiritual void in our lives. And tons of research shows that being more connected to nature is going to make you feel more creative, more inspired, and have greater joy and well-being in our lives. So those are three kind of things that people need to kind of consider with their homes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, taking action on any of those, and all of those really would create them for a much more harmonious environment and life, you know, that particular expression. So now I have to ask you, there was in the book you mentioned a dream that you had with Archangel Gabriel. Now, I love dreams, you know. As a matter of fact, I literally just published a book last week, which was a result of a waking dream I had about a year ago. So, I mean, I am like right there when it comes to dreams and their impact. So tell us about that particular dream.
Oh, great. Well, I'm a dreamer, too. For the past, I guess, around 17 years, I've been journaling my dreams, and they have been so important, as you know, through my spiritual growth and just even everyday life. It's just been fabulous. But so while I was writing this book, you know, the dreaded writer's block, it wasn't quite writer's block. It wasn't quite that, thank God. It was more of I just didn't know how to proceed with something. I was lacking something. So I actually, going through this this period where I got, somebody connected me with Archangel Gabriel. I wasn't really an angel person, but they said, you know, Archangel Gabriel helps writers. I went, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So I, you know, I asked for guidance and I was getting it. So one night I went to bed and I just said, I really need guidance on this. Please help me. And sure enough, in the dream, Archangel Gabriel kind of took me up above the earth. We were just kind of floating above the earth. And he was showing me, you know, the view from above, which was beautiful. And he was showing me that it was all dark, but there were these pinpoints of light, and that the darkness was representing areas in nature that had been dishonored and were, you know, lacking health and vitality, and that there were these sparks of light around that were growing and starting to kind of connect and bridge. And those were places of beautiful, natural energy and higher vibrations. And he just kind of showed me in this visual, this very brief dream, how things like my book and, of course, the work of many other people are helping to spread that light and make those connections. So it was really powerful.
That's a cool dream.
And really inspired me. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the work that you're doing and so many others that I'm meeting and I'm so grateful for in this whole process. We're just spreading that light.
Well, that's wonderful. That is really, that's great. You know, and when you have, you know, those kind of, you know, dream experiences, those are things that stay with you. And, you know, and then I'm sure since that particular dream, there have probably been many times that you've, you know, flash back to that and recognize, you know, when it comes time to, you know, what am I doing? You know, where am I going? What is this all about?
Times of doubt.
Flash back to
that.
Right?
Yes, it is. It is. It's that, it's in time of doubt, it really brings me back to, no, I'm following this path for this reason. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, with your book, how would you say that your book is different from the other books about Feng Shui that are out there?
Good question. So my book doesn't get into all aspects of Feng Shui. It really kind of focuses on Qi and the five elements, and Qi is energy, of course, in the five elements. And I have integrated this this new emerging philosophy of design, as we talked about earlier, called biophilic design. I have actually merged those principles of biophilic design into feng shui through using the five elements. And it's evolving, I should say. It's a first draft, but it is a way for us to understand this kind of thing that's been going on, and that's building. This this knowledge of biophilic design is really spreading, and it's becoming more of a thing. But it, you know, it really has at its roots feng shui. So really, it's that, you know, kind of breakthrough thing by merging these two disciplines, that the old and the ancient, shall I say, and the modern, that makes my book so different.
Yeah. Well, you know, the that biophilic approach is really, I mean, it kind of takes, you know, we're feng shui quite often, the way I think of it, is arrangement of one's environment, you know, whereas
yes.
Biophilic is not the really the arrangement of the environment, but it's the merging of self and environment. So I mean, it kind of, you know, you in a way internalize, you know, the principles for maximum maximum effect.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it is also about placement, not so much placement, but what you bring into the space, yeah, and how you arrange it.
Mm-hmm.
But a very, I'm glad you brought this up, because a very clear delineation between these two is using yin and yang. One is yin and one is yang, where
right.
feng shui
okay.
is really based on some tools, but it's based on ancient wisdom and a lot of intuition. And it's intangible, whereas biophilic design has emerged in the architectural design community. And in order to kind of fit in with that, it has all this research that backs it up. And it is a lot of checklists.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of misses part of the game too, right? It's a very masculine approach, where feng shui is more
mm-hmm.
of that feminine approach. So by marrying the two, it's kind of like it's whole, because the biophilic design really needs the heart and needs the intuition. A checklist isn't going to do it, and feng shui, it can be very amorphous, so it needs a little bit more structure that biophilic design can give. So it's really kind of creating a new kind of, I'm just realizing this, kind of a new discipline that merges these two, the scientific and the intuitive.
Absolutely. Okay, so now what is it that you hope that the readers, or the, you know, the message that you want them to take away from reading your book?
I would love for them to look at their spaces, their homes differently. I would love for them to think about how they feel about their homes. And I'm hearing from readers constantly how they've already made like huge changes and it didn't require much. Like you said, it's just our perception that needs to change sometimes. But that they feel like their home is so much more comforting and embracing to them. So I hope readers get that. That's what I want them to do. I want them to feel that and feel greater peace and harmony in their lives and have that meaningful connection to nature in their spaces. Notice nature more. Notice nature throughout the course of your day. You know, that that old adage, like stop and smell the roses. It is so true. It is so true. Don't go past a flower without stopping and smelling it. And acknowledging it, you know, we have to do more of that in our lives.
Yeah, most definitely. I do that all the time. You know, as a matter of fact, on some of my walks, I'll smell the flower before I even see it, and I'll just follow the smell until I can go in and take a picture. It's like, okay, you know, I want to see what it is that is putting out such a wonderful fragrance.
Definitely.
So now, as we close, if you had one recommendation that you would give the listeners, to help them, you know, bring more joy into life? What would that be?
Well, maybe they should take my quiz on my website and see what their true nature element is. Because when we start doing a little bit of self-discovery, things really open up. We view ourselves differently, and when we view ourselves differently, we are certainly going to look at the world differently. It can't not change.
Yep, that sounds perfect. Well, Maureen, I really want to thank you for your time today. This has really been a wonderful conversation.
You
got me looking around at my environment right now, you know, and wondering exactly what my house is trying to tell me. But anyway, that's a good thing. Now, I have liked your page on Facebook, so I look forward to seeing you post there, and I'm also following you on Twitter. So I'm really looking forward to continuing our interaction into the future.
Thank you so much, Robert. It was a pleasure speaking today.
Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Maureen Calamia, and we've been talking about her book, Creating Luminous Spaces, Use the Five Elements for Balance and Harmony. And again, you can find out more about all that Maureen has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.luminous-spaces.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.